May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, our Christ, the Savior. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Mark 1, the ministry of Jesus. Please pray with me. Lord, richly bless the preaching and hearing of your holy word this day in our midst for the benefit of our faith. Give us your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin with some easy questions. Who here has a doctor, a physician that you see sometimes? Everybody probably does. A doctor, a physician that you might go see. Who here has a good doctor? Your doctor, you say, is good. If he wasn't good or she wasn't good, you probably wouldn't have him as your doctor. They're a good doctor. Who here has the absolute best doctor in the whole world? The best physician. Really? Who is the best physician? Jesus our Savior. Mrs. Poizel's pointing at her husband, Dr. Art, the chiropractor. Not you, Dr. Art. You're good. But Jesus is the best. And that, we could say, is the theme of the gospel today. Mark 1. Jesus, the great physician, the great doctor, the best. He heals everybody of everything, doesn't he? Let me give you four reasons from this text why Jesus is the best doctor, the best physician. And we've come today for a healing, haven't we, today? The healing of our souls, renewal, strength, forgiveness. Come to the right place. First of all, note that Jesus is a doctor. He's a physician who treats anyone and everyone. He's taking new patients. Often you call a doctor and they're not taking any more patients. Sorry, I'm booked. He's taking new patients. You know what? You know how many new patients Jesus would have? He'd have over 6 billion. Everybody in the whole world living right now, he would take as his patient. He wants to see everybody. He treats anyone and everyone. Note the obvious in the text. Jesus turns no one away. The whole city comes out to him, we're told. Lots of people, maybe hundreds if not thousands, coming for healing. He turns no one away. He has no office hours. Sorry, you're too late today. Come tomorrow. You don't have to, no long waiting line here for Jesus. You don't have to make an appointment 2 or 3 months in advance to see him. He's just there. He treats anyone and everyone. Young, poor, rich, men, women, boys, girls, whoever you are, Jew, Gentile. You can't be too sick for Jesus. He doesn't have to refer you to somebody because he can't take care of you. You can't be too sinful, too diseased, too evil for Jesus. He treats anyone, everyone. The end of the gospel says it well, where the disciples find him and they say, everyone is searching for you. Why? Because he's such a great physician. He treats anybody, everybody. You know, you probably heard about the big fight this week here in Tennessee, didn't you? Big battle, it was all over the news. Big battle, big fight. Wow, major problem here in Tennessee between Lane Kiffin, UT's coach, and Urban Meyer, Florida's coach. Oh my! Did you hear about that? What a fight, what a battle. Kiffin actually called Meyer a cheater. Oh my! Panic, UT fans. Just shows the silliness of our society. We sports writers and writers talk about this and write about this and talk and write. Who cares? This text shows us the real fight. It's not on a football field or between coaches. The fight that all these dear people have in Mark 1 is a fight against their sin, against sickness, disease, demons, everything. And praise be to our God that he's given us one who will help us in the fight. His only Son, who has already conquered sin, death, hell, disease, sickness. He's conquered all of it in his death and resurrection. Praise be to God. He's secondly the best doctor because he can cure anything and everything. He has the perfect cure, a lasting cure for anything and everything. Note the text, and Mark wants us to see this. I mean, he just takes care of anything. He takes care of Simon's mother-in-law's fever. And then those that were sick, oppressed by demons, the whole city comes out to him with various diseases. I mean, anything, everything. You're sick, you're diseased, you got a demon, whatever. Even death we could add here, because he raises the dead too later, doesn't he? Whatever you have, he takes care of. He has a perfect cure for anything, everything. And that perfect cure is himself. He doesn't give any pills, no prescriptions, no therapy for months. It's just him, his word, his touch, his presence as the Son of God, the righteous living one. He does it all himself. What a doctor. The perfect lasting cure for anything and everything. No one comes back to Jesus in the text complaining. Well, doc, you didn't take care of me. Or saying, look, you took care of me halfway, but I still got part of the problem. Can you do more for me? No one comes back grumbling, complaining because the doctor couldn't help them. We live in an age of specialists. Most physicians today specialize in some area. They can't do everything, so they specialize, don't they? That's why many of you have a heart doctor, but then along with that heart doctor, you may have a brain doctor, or you have a back doctor, or you have a foot doctor. They can't do it all. They got to choose their specialty. What does Jesus, the great physician, specialize in? Everything. He specializes in everything. He's already healed us spiritually. He's already healed the soul. That's called baptism. That's called absolution today, communion, where he's given us faith. And through that faith, he forgives our sins. He makes us right with God. We are perfect, righteous, holy in God's sight. So we're already healed spiritually. Taking care of that by his death and resurrection. But it doesn't end there. Sometimes we think that as Christians, well, he heals my spirit, he doesn't care about my body. He cares about the body. That's why he rose from the dead in the body. And why we will rise from the dead in the body in heaven. He'll heal us physically, mentally, emotionally, all in heaven. When he gives us a brand new, glorious, immortal, powerful body. And this text really is a picture of the last day, one could say. When all the sick, all the diseased, all the dead rise. Any problem that you have, he immediately, instantaneously cures it. You have brand new flesh. And you live forever with God in heaven. We have a little picture of that here in the gospel lesson. You know, it's my great privilege as a pastor, and you can do this too, by the way, but Pastor Robertson and I can go to hospitals and we see the sick, those with cancer or something less. Maybe they had surgery or whatever it is. And we can look them in the eyeball and say to them, God will heal you. Is that a good thing to say to somebody in the hospital that's dying, perhaps? God will heal you. Yes, he will. And we can say to them, God's already healed. If you're baptized and you're a Christian, God's already healed you spiritually. You're forgiven. You're washed. You're clean. You're right with God. And God will heal you of this too. Either now, he'll make you better and you'll continue to live, or he will heal you in heaven. Either way, you're going to be healed. So never think that God's against me. God can't heal me. Yes, he does. Either God chooses to heal you now, you live longer, or you go to heaven and you're healed in heaven, which is even better. Leave it in God's hands, but God will heal in his own time. Life just exudes from the body of Jesus. He must heal because he is life. He's conquered death. You know, we just at times make too much of things like cancer or diabetes or arthritis or heart failure. These things obviously are serious from our perspective. But think of what cancer can't. We have a lot of people on the pros with cancer. Cancer can't take away the forgiveness of sins. Cancer can't take away the love of God. Cancer can't somehow negate the cross and the resurrection. Cancer can't take away eternal life in heaven. Cancer can't deny you the resurrection of your body in paradise forever and ever. So what can cancer really do? Just end your life a little early? Yes, it's sad, but it's really powerless in the presence of Jesus. And for that matter, any other deadly disease. What a doctor. You really like point number three. He charges absolutely nothing for his services. What doctor treats you for free? Come on in. Free treatment. It's very, very rare. But notice the text. Look at the text. Does Jesus give a bill to anybody? By the way, here's your bill for healing you today. Does he ask for payment before he serves you? A copay. Does he even ask for a health insurance card to make sure he can get money from your health insurance? No, it's free. All free. Now, that does not mean it's cheap. There is a cost for all of this healing here. And the cost is the cross of Jesus. He pays for it himself in his own body. We got to understand when we read something like this, all these diseases, demons, sicknesses are healed. What happens to the diseases? What happens to the sicknesses and to the demons? They just magically disappear and the people are well? That's not how it happens. This isn't magic. When Jesus heals people here in this text, he himself is taking their sickness into himself. He absorbs all the diseases. He absorbs all the sicknesses. He becomes the sick one, the diseased one, the dying one, the one with cancer, diabetes, arthritis, heart failure. He becomes that person. He absorbs all of that, demons, all that in himself. Not easy. And he takes it all as the Son of God to the cross, where he suffers and dies and then rises again on Easter and conquers all of it in his resurrection. The cost is great, the life of Christ, to bring such healing. Why does he heal? It's called love. He's a great physician who loves and loves and loves his patients, will die for his patients. We're in that time when we think about love, right? Valentine's Day, this Saturday. What is love? I was given a neat little article about love. I wanted to read a couple of these. How would you define love? Well, Carl, age 5, a kindergartner, says, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and they smell each other. That's love. Danny, age 7, says, love is when mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. That's love, huh? Other ones here. Noel, age 7, says, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. That's love. Chris, age 7, love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says that he is handsomer than Robert Redford. Now, that never happens to me. How about you, Pat? Maybe, huh? Mary Ann, age 4, says, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. Jessica, age 8, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Good quotes from youngsters on love. But you sure can't beat 1 John 4. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There's love. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This great physician loves. He dies for his patients, and he charges nothing to them. It's grace. And so, point number 4, he's a great physician. He has an appointment for you every Wednesday and every Sunday. Don't miss your appointment. This text, this gospel, is really a great text on Christian worship. It really is a great text on what's happening in Christian worship. Note a couple things. Note number 1, there is a time and place to meet Jesus. He's obviously inside a house because it talks about people being at the door. He's in a house and there you will see Jesus. And there's a time because later on he says, I must go on to others now. So there's a time to see Jesus and a place. And then note also that to be healed, you must come in contact with Jesus. You can't stay home and be healed. There's no long distance healing. Well, I'll just think about Jesus from miles away. I'll pray and wish he heals me and I'll get healed. None of that. You must come into his presence to be healed. Where he is, you must be there and he will touch you or speak a word and heal you. You must be in his very presence at that time. And that, dear friends, is a model of worship. For now is the time that Jesus, with his grace and love, is here. His word is here. His sacrament of his body and blood is here. He's here. He really is. At a time and place, Wednesdays, Sundays, 6:30, 10:30, he's here. And you must come in contact with him. Hear his word. Actually take communion. Not just think about Jesus or dream of Jesus or just pray from afar while you're on the golf course or in bed sleeping because you're lazy. Forgive me, Lord. Not how it works. Come into his presence to be healed. To be forgiven, renewed, strengthened like that of an eagle, the Old Testament lesson says. If you have a headache today, it does not help you to go look at a bottle of Tylenol. I'll look at it, it'll heal me. It doesn't help you to think about Tylenol or to even take the cap off and look inside. It only helps you if you swallow it. Then it helps you. Just being kind of around it doesn't help. And so the Lord helps you when you actually hear the word of God with faith. And you actually open your mouth and take his body and blood with faith. Then he helps. One last word on this text also. It's a good mission text. Because it mentions how the sick were being brought to Jesus. And I don't want to skip over this. It's as if the sick were too sick to come to Jesus themselves. Or maybe they didn't want to go because, he can't help me. I'm not going to go out in public. I'm sick. So the people brought the sick to Jesus. A great mission text for all of us that have been healed today, forgiven of our sins, renewed. Bring somebody next Sunday. Don't just bring good people to church. There really isn't anybody good. But don't bring another church member of another church. You can do that. But bring the sick. Bring the lonely, the depressed, the burdened, the dying. Bring them to God's house to have contact with Jesus. You know, how many wins does Pat Summit have now? What is it, like 100 or something? Oh, I know. 1,000 wins. That's impressive. How many years did it take her to get 1,000? 35 years now. That's a really good record. A challenge for First Lutheran Church. May we win 1,000 souls in 2009. We don't need to take 35 years to win 1,000 souls. We can win 1,000 souls in 2009. We have 400 members approximately. That means each one of you bring two or three people to the Lord this year. Think about it. Bring two or three people to God's house to be saved, to be baptized, to be confirmed. Bring two or three this year. If all 400 of us do it, we'll have 1,000 victories, 1,000 wins in 1 year. The news people won't report that. There won't be a big show of confetti, but all of heaven will rejoice, won't they? Bring your two or three, and if you bring two or three, bring two or three more, and then two or three more to be healed by Jesus. He treats anyone and everyone. He has the perfect cure for anything and everything himself. He charges nothing. He has an appointment with you every Sunday and Wednesday. Don't miss it. Amen.